Welcome to The Wellness Way with me, Philly J. Lay, a layperson's guide to your natural health systems, your very own NHS. Hello, lovely people, and welcome to an extraordinary episode of The Wellness Way today. Am I looking really chilled? Because my God, I feel it. I have just had an experience that, it's one of those what the moments. I don't know how to explain my next guest. I really don't know how to introduce him to you. So I'm just going to tell you his name and ask John Mason to tell you what he does. And we'll try and talk you through the process and explain it to you, because I have never, ever experienced anything like it. John Mason, welcome to The Wellness Way. Thank you so much, not just for coming on, but thank you for being here. Thank you for the last hour we've spent together. It's been extraordinary. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into this.
Okay, so thank you very much, firstly, for welcoming and inviting me here. I'll tell you a little bit about how I've got to do what I do. Technically, I'm a qualified chiropractor, but as you probably gathered from what we've just worked with, it's not really that much like chiropractic, is it?
It's not that much like chiropractic.
So,
no.
Originally trained as a chiropractor and always started off using low force, the tiniest force possible. And then I discovered this thing called muscle testing, where you could ask the body what you can do, what's the most important priority. And there are a number of gentle chiropractic techniques which are based upon asking the body what it wants. And provided you're really open-minded, you can get some amazing answers from what the body wants. And that's what I've done. I've just, over the years, followed what the body wants, what the person wants. Everyone has this skill. Even though I've refined it, we all have it. For example, if you go to a party and there's a group of people there standing to the left and a group of people to the right, and you're just coming in, you hardly think, but then you go, oh, I'm going to go to that group on the right, and immediately you'll fit in. That's because inherently we have inside us like a frequency magnet, which tells us, that's where I want to be. And each person has that within their body. Each part of the body has a frequency magnet. So that if, for example, somebody's neck is not happy, it's sending out that signal. I'm not happy. I'm not happy. I'm not happy. Sometimes the person inside goes, oh, I've really got a stiff neck, or I've really got a painful neck. And that signal goes out. And that's what I'm able to pick up. And only because I've been doing it for many, many years, for about 30 odd years, I've been doing it, listening to the signals of the body, not listening to what the person's saying. Now, that sounds completely rude. But if you go back to what we did this afternoon, did I ask you anything about your symptoms or what was going on?
Nothing at all. I told you nothing at all. And you read my body to a T. I want to talk a little bit more about muscle testing before we go on, because a lot of people, I muscle test every day. I love muscle testing. I talk to my subconscious mind, and I do the sway test, but there's also a kind of finger test that you can do where you just do a little circle with your finger and whether you can push your finger through. I do the sway test, so I check in with my body. So I stand very still, grounded, bare feet on the ground, and I do it in front of a beautiful oak tree, and I just stare at the oak tree and say, my name is Philippa Joanne Lay, and I will sway forward, and then I'll say, my name's Whoopi Goldberg or Donald Trump or whoever I want to say that day, and my body will go flying back. And once I know that my subconscious mind is talking to me, then I ask my muscles, my subconscious mind, what I need to know for the day. Sorry to interrupt this podcast. Why don't you come and sign up to my newsletter at phillyjlay.com, where we can keep connected and we can talk about lots of things going on in the world. You will also get my free manifestation meditation so you can become a shit-hot manifester too. Don't forget to like, subscribe and share, and turn your notifications on so you never miss an episode. Thank you. But what you did was have an ability to read my body without me telling you anything. It was quite extraordinary. Within 5 minutes of sitting down, you brought up my left shoulder. And I'd had a frozen shoulder for many years. And although I've worked on it and it's no longer frozen, if I'm having some kind of a treatment, a massage, I still have to have a cushion underneath it. It doesn't quite go back to where it used to. And you brought that up within seconds. And I'm just like, okay, he's picked up the shoulder. You then, well, we'll go through the treatment a little bit by little bit. Tell me what you saw when you sat opposite me.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for that, Philly. So firstly, if you don't mind, I'd like to use the word adjustment rather than treatment. Your body had an adjustment, not a treatment. A treatment assumes there's something wrong with you, that we need to treat it and fix it. As ultimately, there's nothing really wrong with you, but it's just something in your system needs a little bit of a tweak, a little adjustment, just like when you're driving along the motorway and you're trying to stay between the lines. You might adjust the steering from time to time. You just want to keep it on track. And that's what the adjustment does. It holds you on track. And that's really what I do. So don't think of it as a treatment, as an adjustment, adjustment to your life, adjustment to bring you back to who you are. And the way I see this is, whether I'm working remotely over Zoom or whether I'm working with you one-to-one, your body, in fact, everybody's body, is giving off a signal. It's giving off like a signal. And instead of being clear in places, it gets slightly distorted. And I'm able to notice what those distortions are and help your body let that distortion go by sometimes a little tap, a little talking to, bringing you back to a memory. It can be a number of different things, but somehow, and I'm not really sure how this works, I'm able to tune in more sharply to your whole system than most people are. Everyone has the ability, but for some reason it's a gift that has developed for me over the last 30 odd years.
And it is a gift. I can promise you it is a gift. I want to talk to you a little bit about, you said then you can, it's a blurriness in a vision. And so I presume a good analogy would be something like a TV screen. If it's breaking down, the signal hasn't gone, or, you know, an old fashioned radio wave and, you know, it's crackling, or, you know, even now in my car, when I drive through certain areas and I don't get that signal, it's cut out. And then, you know, I get to a built-up area, I get to where there's more signal, and it comes back in. So the machines are not broken. It's just the signal is weak. Is that a fair analogy?
That's absolutely how it is. That's absolutely how it is. The body is flowing, if you like a stream. It's flowing with energy right the way through it, from the head down to the feet, or from the feet up to the head, whichever way you look at it. It doesn't really matter which way. But there's an energy flowing through it, and it's flowing everywhere. And if in that stream there's a little pebble, it will cause the stream to divert or have a little vortex around it. And all you need to do is just move that pebble slightly to one side and the energy flows freely again. So that's the best way of looking at it. If you take it from a mechanistic point of view, the brain has a spinal cord, and from the spinal cord it connects with all parts of the body, and if the spinal cord is interfered in any way, it will create an interference. The signal is interfered with. But your analogy, I would say, is pretty accurate. Yeah.
So a lot of people know the saying, a healthy body, a healthy mind. And we equate mental health issues and everything to maybe the gut biome. And, you know, we know about this, but your philosophy is very different. And I am totally on board with this as a EFT tapper practitioner. But we believe very strongly that you have a healthy mind and then you have the healthy body, and that the body holds the score. So could you elaborate on what blocks, what is actually stopping people, what those emotions can be? How does this work that our emotions are messing with our bodies?
That's a great question. That's a great question. To answer that, use a very, very simple analogy. You're walking down the local high street and somebody comes at you fairly quickly and you've got to move out of the way. You've got to twist your body to get out of their way, and they whiz past you like that. So you're able to move out of the way. But life comes at you sometimes and you're not able to move out the way. So internally, parts of your body does that twist and moves out the way. And instead of it being totally flexible, it holds that experience and it's moved out the way. It's no longer in alignment with your pure essence. You're no longer purely aligned. So experiences of life can cause your system, if you like, to move out of the way of that straight line, of that pure essence of who you are, of the real person you are. And often it's either the way you've been dragged up from your parents, or it's various different experiences that happen in our life. Things that you did want to happen and didn't happen, or things that happened and you didn't want to happen. And we hold them. We hold them, and we hold resentments, and we hold guilt. And one of the ways we know we're holding that is by looking at how much we are, I call it, shoulding and shouldn'ting in life.
Okay, so explain shoulding and shouldn'ting in life, because I hadn't heard of this until we met. And I'm just like, oh my God, that makes complete sense. And I'd never thought of it.
Okay, so from very young age, our parents teach us how to brush our teeth. Fantastic, that's really useful. How to use a knife and fork, really useful. They also teach us how to cross a road, really useful and great for our safety. But also, subliminally, they're teaching us how we should treat other people, how we should not tell what's going on, keep things to ourselves, or whatever habits or patterns they have, and we absorb them. So when we go through life and we find we're doing something and somebody asks you, well, why are you doing that? That doesn't look a very good thing to do. And you go, well, as a good mother, sister, brother, auntie, whatever, I should do that. A good mother should do that. A good person should do that. And we're trained from very young to follow this. A good person should do this. So the shoulding is where you are following somebody else's thought pattern, not yours. And the shouldn'ting is the same. You shouldn't do that. A good person wouldn't do that. And so on. So you're living somebody else's life. And when you live somebody else's life, your body isn't free. You hold that shoulding, you hold that tension, because really inside you, there's this amazing spark which says, I really want to do this, but I can't because I shouldn't do it. And that's what I mean by shoulding.
I love that. You told me a story when you arrived about Billy Connolly and his wife, Pamela. Is it Pamela Anderson? I can't remember. Pamela, it is. Can't remember. Anyway, she's a psychotherapist in Australia. Tell the story, John, because it's so lovely.
So I may not tell this accurately, but I certainly remember reading it when I was reading one of the books from Billy Connolly, where his wife's a psychotherapist in Australia. They agree to have lunch and he comes into the office, but he comes in a little bit earlier than he should do. So he's sitting there and there's another client opposite him waiting there. And he says to the client, what are you doing here? Why have you come to see the psychotherapist? As he would. And she says, well, it's because I just cannot get on with my daughter-in-law. To which he replies, why do you think you should get on with your daughter-in-law? What makes you think you should be getting on with her? And suddenly she thought, oh, I hadn't thought of it like that. And over the next few minutes, they had this conversation about she was trying to be something that truly she wasn't. She was trying to get on with somebody, even though she couldn't. She was shoulding. I should do this. As a good mother-in-law, I should do this. And he pointed out to her, why? Where's the rules? Where does that come from?
who says you should? Within a few minutes, she realized, oh, you're probably right. I don't need to do that anymore. Got up and left. So when Pamela came out and saw this client wasn't waiting, she said to Billy Cully, what's happened? He said, oh, well, I had a conversation with her and she's gone. At which point Pamela said, right, you are banned from this office. You must never come here again.
I love that. I love that story. It's so simple. One could argue here, though, that you do have to get on with your daughter-in-law for the sake of your son. However, you can't get on with people by being somebody you're not, by not being your true, authentic self, by being a people pleaser. You know, we talk a lot about people pleasers. There's a lot of us out there that want to be people pleasers. What would you say to that? How does the body hold that score?
Well, how do you think the body holds that score? It's not going to hold it very well, because what you're creating is a conflict. Inside, I feel I should do this, but outside, I should do that. So there's a conflict, and the conflict is always going to result in a distortion in the body, a discomfort. One of the things I wanted to say today was, how can we get people to look at their own lives? How can I help on that way without seeing me, without having a session with me? And really, let's just look at the body. For example, many people come in and they've got a right shoulder. The right shoulder's painful. Very simply, in my view, the right side of the body relates to issues in their life which relate to male issues, like relationships with males, relationships with sons, fathers, uncles, friends, and it also relates to work, whereas the left side tends to relate to female issues and home. Somebody comes in with a sore right shoulder, well, you're experiencing a right shoulder problem, and it won't go away. Maybe we can look at, where are you holding responsibility? Where do you think you should be holding responsibility in an area either of work or with another male? And if it's the left side shoulder, where are you holding responsibility unnecessarily? Shoulding for your home or female in your life? So you can look at the body in a different way. So the symptoms, rather than, oh, I've got a damn right shoulder, it's hurting me and it won't go away, is come below that. What's the thinking behind it? What's the feeling behind it? And the thinking often is, oh, really? I've got a real problem with my boss at work. I really have. Now, will it fix the problem with the boss at work? No. But it'll allow you to come at ease with the conflict. And as you come at ease with the conflict, any subsequent treatment you have, physio, massage, chiropractor, whatever, will be more helpful. So you need to come into what's going on with your life first and then seek help from other people. That's the way I see it.
It's very interesting because you brought up the left being the home, and I had a left shoulder that was frozen. It started freezing just literally a week after my mum died. And my mum, it didn't matter where she was in life, my mum was my home, and I knew that my marriage had been over quite a long time, but I could never have left my ex-husband while my mum was alive, because it would have broken her heart. And the moment that I lost home, mum, I knew that I'd lose my home and my marriage. And it was within a week, and it didn't just kind of freeze up slowly. I literally couldn't move it. Nothing.
So from an anatomical or physiological point of view, how can that happen?
Well, it's the subconscious mind.
But physiologically and anatomically, it can't.
It can't.
Not overnight. You didn't strain it, pull it, stress it, and yet your whole system says, you're not going to use that left shoulder. Had you at the time thought, I wonder why that is. I wonder what's going on in there. It may be that it may not have had to freeze. And so we can look at our bodies in a different way. And that's really what I'm trying to say is, yes, we need help from osteopaths, chiropractors, physios, masseurs. We need that sort of help, psychotherapists, whatever you need. But firstly, it's just useful to look and see, what could this be related to? What is going on? One of the most common things I also find is people have jaw tension and very tight jaw. And you say to them, what are you not saying? What are you holding back? What are you biting your tongue for?
Yeah, okay. My jaw's been really stiff for the last 3 years, John. I haven't held back much.
Good. So the body will reflect. The body will reflect exactly what's going on in your life. What's going on in your life? So, and that's something to be aware of. So from a self-help point of view, just when you do get symptoms, have a look at them. You don't have to spend hours doing, but just, oh God, I wonder if that might be something to do with that. And then leave it. And then what happens is when you are prepared to look at it like that, you might well find you get an insight later on. And go, yeah, I wonder if it is to do with my auntie, my mother, my sister, my brother, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, you're shooting in that area or have been shooting in that area.
Yeah. I've just done an episode actually on metaconsciousness with the brilliant Penny Kroll, and Louise Hay always talked about it as well, you know, about the different parts of the body and the meanings and everything. So we won't cover that again today, but we are going to help you learn to have techniques to help yourself here. But I just want to finish the rest of our treatment because it did blow my mind. And show people what you did. But the second thing you noticed after my shoulder was you noticed my heart, and you've done some tapping on my heart, and I'm going to get you to show the audience in a moment your tapping machine. But you did some tapping on my heart. You read my body and you gave me an age, and you said 37, maybe 36, broken heart. Out of the blue, you said that to me. And at 36 years old, I felt like my heart was going to break when I found out I was pregnant for the first time. And I mean, I hate to say this now, because I could not live without my children. I became a born-again mother, but it was not in my plan, my life plan, to have children. And so when I found out I was pregnant for the first time, I didn't stop crying and I didn't speak to anybody till I had my 5 month scan. And I felt like my heart was broken. I was really happy with my life, with my career. And I just thought, I'm going to have to give it all up. Now, at 5 months, I saw the scan and realized I had a beautiful baby girl. And I just literally lay on the floor and cried with joy. But I'd had this incredible broken heart. How did you see that in me?
That's a great question.
How did you see that in me?
Because it's in your energy field. It's in your energy field, that the holding's in your energy field. And we all hold different patterns in our body, and we all can see this, but it's just over the years, because I've worked with thousands and thousands and thousands of clients, you just get better and better at seeing the fineness of it. Okay, so that's it, really. And the words come out of my mouth. I didn't look them up in a book. When I first started working, I did. Most of you might know Bradley Nelson, who uses the emotion code. And the emotion code is where you have a series of emotions and then you just ask the body which one's relevant. So originally when I started, I did have a long list of emotions, and I also would have the way of finding out what age this happened. But after you keep using it day by day by day, the words just come to your head. They just come to me. So they just come to me, and I knew it was there, and I didn't know exactly what it was. But again, your body will just tell us what age it was. And by bringing attention to that now and holding that point, it allows your body to let that energy leave. And as it leaves, it creates space for you. For the real you. And that's the work that I do, to help you open yourself to let the real you in. So all the traumas, all the things that have happened that have stopped you fully blossoming into the real you. That's what we do. So How it works, just
without
it's very difficult to describe.
Very difficult. But I can tell you, when I work with clients as an EFT matrix re-imprint practitioner, and we will talk about working online with people later in this conversation, I'm tapping alongside them remotely. And I always ask them to give me a colour and give me a form within the body. And I can see it beforehand. And I don't know how this happens. But, you know, if it's a red pus and it's in their heart, I visualise it. And I say, give me a colour, give me a form. And then they describe what I'm thinking. And when I started doing this, I was just like, how do I see this? I don't know how it works. And then I never, ever want to put words into a client's mouth. They have to be their own words. But I have to guide them. And I will guide them and say, if anything doesn't ring true for you, please put this in your own words. And they'll go, no, that's absolutely spot on. And I go, how does this happen? We are so powerful beyond anything we have ever been told. Anything that is in our belief system is... it's kind of nonsense. We are incredibly powerful and we're all connected in the field, which is allowing you to read my energy. And you just can't describe it, can you really, John?
Not only can't you describe it, you can't tell how it works. I can't tell you how it works because I've absolutely no idea. People say, do I see it? Not really. Do I sense it? Sort of. Just comes out of my mouth when I tune into you. That's it. It's simple as that. And all I can see is, but what's the best version of you? That's all I ever look towards. What's the best version of you? And so the adjustments that we make are to help you align with the best version of you. So that's the aim of everything I do. And whether I do it one-to-one, like we did today, or I do it remotely, and most of my work now is remote. It's, I hold in my mind or my inner space, I suppose, the best version of you that I can. And what happens is by resonance, you start to follow it. You come along with it. Okay, so I'm not trying to fix you. I'm not trying to sort you out. I'm trying to show you there is a better version of you that you know is in there and you just don't quite know how to come into it. And that's the work I do. And whether it's remote, which I do mostly these days, or it's one-to-one, which we did today, it's the same basic principle. I hold in mind what's the highest version of you. Now, there is a form of kinesiology or muscle testing that we do for this, although you won't notice me doing it because I've been doing it for so long, it's not really relevant. But I do want to talk a little bit about it, if you're okay with that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So when we ask the body questions, we have to be clear with no preconceived ideas. And the reason I say this is some years ago, I had an issue with my digestion. And I went to see a so-called kinesiologist who told me that I was intolerant to a whole list of things. It went on forever. Wheat and dairy and peanuts and tea and coffee and whatever it was. It just went on. And of course, when I left there, I was purely in pure depression. You know, what can I eat? Oh, I can have a couple of crackers and some water. I thought, well, this is awful. And then I had the idea, let me test his testing. So I got samples of all the things he said I couldn't have. And I put them in different, like I had bread, but then I toasted it. I had butter and I had ghee and I had all the things he told me I couldn't have. And I put them into plastic containers and I numbered them 1 to 10. I went down to the practitioner and said, okay, which ones of those am I? He had no idea what they were. Which ones am I intolerant to? And it was just one, peanuts. And what I realized from that is he had a preconceived idea of what I should be intolerant to.
Yeah.
And so from that experience, I've come back and thought, wow, I have to be really careful. I mustn't have a preconceived idea of what's right for you or what's needed for you. And that was a really big eye-opening lesson for me to realise that.
And so you're looking at the whole picture, the higher self, if you like, the pure version of the person. And when I started doing energy work, I couldn't really understand the higher self, which seems really strange to me now because I talked to my higher self the whole time. But I didn't really understand it. I'm going, what's my higher self? I'm here. I'm just, this is me, mate. And now I kind of can go and have those conversations. And I know this sounds mad. I know this sounds completely barking. But when you start this work, it is truly extraordinary, isn't it, John?
It is beyond extraordinary. It's difficult to know. After a while, you get so used to it, you think it's every day. But it isn't. It's most people have no idea what I'm talking about or no idea what's available to them. They have no idea what they can experience in their life. Yeah. So I was trained initially as an engineer, so I've got an extraordinarily scientific background. But science just loses its place in this because none of it makes any sense to the intellect. But if when you tune into the heart, you realise it does make sense.
Well, when you said to me about my growth and heart, you got a tapping machine out. And you've got it on the side of the chair now. So if you're listening to this, I will put a post up on social media with this little gadget. Can you pick it up? John, can you explain this to us? Does that, like, I tap like this, you know, I'm just tapping on the body wherever I need to tap. Show us this guy.
Okay, so this is a chiropractic instrument, and it gives a very gentle tap, very gentle. It can give a more forceful tap. It was developed in America for chiropractic, and with chiropractic, originally it was just straightening out the vertebra. I've worked with chiropractic instruments for 20 years, but the electric one I started in 2007. And it just gives a gentle nudge. So if you want, say, for example, a vertebra or part of the body to move, you just give it a gentle tap and it just gives it a vibration, allows it to come into a better place. And then we discovered there is nowhere on the body that you can't tap. Really almost nowhere. You can't actually tap on the eyeball. You can tap on the lid, on the eyelid. You can't really tap on the genitals, well, because it's a bit painful, but it almost everywhere in the body you can create an impulse. And if you think of that, all you're doing is when you're tapping, is you're bringing the brain's attention to that part of the body. So let me explain that a little bit better. You go to a farmyard, and when you go to a farmyard, the first thing you go is, oh my God, it absolutely stinks. And you can smell the manure, and it's like really in your face. 20 minutes later, somebody says to you, can you smell anything? You go, no, can't smell anything.
That's true.
Yeah. Your system switches off. So if there's a distortion in your system, a distortion in your spine, it switches it off. It says, well, I'm not interested in that. So let's say it's hurting a little bit, but only a little bit. Your body will switch off to it just as it likes to the smell, just like it does when you put a pair of socks on in the morning. You know you've put your socks on, but you don't go around all day going, oh, I've got my socks on. Oh, I've got my socks on. Oh, it would drain you. So your body switches things out. So the distortions in the system, the tension in the system, it switches out. It says, look, I can't deal with that. I've got all this other stuff going on. When you bring me instrument or the tap to that part of the body, the brain goes, oh, it is tight there. Oh, it is holding something there. Maybe I can do something about it. And uses the energy of this to help you let go of the tension there. So that's how it works. It brings a tension to that area and your system goes, yeah, I can fix that. I can let that go. So all it is just a way of saying, hello, this issue's here. Come and deal with that.
And the extraordinary thing was when you, after we worked on my heart, you touched my back and went, oh, scar tissue. And I hadn't told you, I'd had a spinal fusion at that point. And you literally went to my disc, my metal cage in my spine. And you were so funny. And you felt the scar tissue quite strongly. I think you kind of went, oh my God. And then you made me swear to get it out. And we talked about the surgeons and what had gone on with my swine. And we swore at them. We got all of that out. And that was the first time I felt complete and utter release in my spine for 14 years. I've had hundreds of massages, thousands of massages, most probably, which have all held. But it was just like, it melted away. Just melted away. And I just thought, well. And then he looked at me and the next thing came up, which was conflict. And you told me that I was too conflicting, that I was, what were your words on that? I can't remember what you said now.
There's a big distinction between determination to do something and fighting. And you were in the fight mode. Pushing, 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 pushing.
Yeah.
And the best results come when you stay in determination without moving into fighting for something. Fighting will always create conflict, and conflict will always create tension in the body. And tension will eventually end up in some sort of discomfort or pain. When you come out of conflict, then you come into... It's not giving up. It's just staying in that I am me. I am never going to give up my desire. I'm never going to give up my goals. But I am not going to fight anyone for it. I'm not going to change my frequency down to their frequency. Because determination and courage has a very, very high frequency. When you come into anger and resentment and fighting, well, everyone knows what happens. It doesn't lead to a great outcome. It really doesn't.
It has been a joy to meet you, not just interview, but to meet you. And I just want to say thank you so much for coming on this podcast. I know that you don't see a huge amount of people, but can you tell us where people can find you? Your webpage is you don't say any of this on the webpage. It's really hard to find out about you. But please give us our webpage. Give everybody your webpage so that they can find you. And those people that need to find you will find their way to you. The universe works like that, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a very low profile, a very simple website. I suppose many years ago I thought I was retiring, but, you know, the universe won't let me do that. So the website is www.john, that's J-O-N, no H, and then johnmason.net. And you can inquire at info@johnmason.net. That's J-O-N, mason.net.
And that will be in the show notes, so you can find it in the show notes. Please subscribe to this podcast. Please leave a review. We're getting out such wonderful information, and to have your support to get that out means the world to me. That's how we can reach more people. And I just want to say, everybody, you at home and John, thank you for being on the show today.
Great. It's been a great joy. Thank you so much.
Bless you.